Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we can come before you, and we do in your presence in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's full of power. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, dividing even the asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Teach us, God. Lead us, God, as bring us into all truth. Cause us to understand, to comprehend what your word says so we can use it for every part of our lives. And we thank you, Lord, that the entrance of your word brings light, illumination, causing us to see things we never would have seen before. But because your word is coming in, we're not in the dark. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that you've given to us and how you bless our lives in so many different ways. In Jesus' name, we call it done. And everybody said, amen.
Or, okay, we've got a reader.
Praise the Lord. Go praise ahead. And God. Who's our reader tonight? Okay, go ahead. We have Yvonne Mitchell, our reader for tonight. Okay, go right ahead. I guess you don't know where to go. You haven't been assigned the scripture. You need some help with this thing?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry about that. Okay, are you good?
All right. We are on Proverbs
31.
Okay. We're going to deviate tonight, and then we'll get back to that. Okay. So we're on Proverbs, the 31st chapter. And I want you to go ahead and read verses number 10, 11, and 12. Okay?
Who can find a virtuous wife?
Okay, so we talked about...
And the best of from the stage...
Okay, hey, y'all.
I thought maybe that was part of the deal you asked them to do.
Yeah, we're trying to find the virtuous woman. There's the music to find her.
I thought after she said virtuous wife, that was going to be something about virtuous. Okay. See, I thought that was planned.
That was not planned.
Okay. So we had talked about that. I think we did a pretty good job talking about it. Who can find, right? So this person must be found. And we said it would be best to find her in church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why people look outside of the church, but church is a good place to find.
It's a good place to find.
I know Deacon Simpson, that's his testimony with his wife, lovely lady Felicia Simpson. He was single. Can I use a testimony real quick? I'm not going to tell the whole thing, but he was single, and so he was.
And so was she.
Of course. And she was shipped here from, actually she moved up here from California because she took a job up here. And so she attended this church, came to this church. Her former pastor told her to come here, and she obeyed him. Mm. Thank God. See, you listen to your former pastor. He's in heaven now. He's our father in the faith, but he's in heaven now.
Yes, he is.
She listened to him, and she did what he said. Mm. And being obedient to what he said, so she came here, and one day, this is the story that I know, okay, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm telling the short story. And so he was looking for a wife, a virtuous wife.
And men do that.
And he took many, many years, too. And
brothers, you got to help me out here. I can't be out here by myself.
Yeah. And so because he came in here, like I said, he was... just a young man. And so anyway, he made known to us that he was looking for a virtuous wife. So anyway, years later, after some no's, Felicia came to this church. And one day she was standing up worshiping the Lord.
God.
And the Spirit of God said, "That's your wife," to Deacon Simpson. And sure enough, it all worked out, and they've been married for 24 years now. Just celebrated their 24th wedding anniversary this month. So praise God. And so if you do it God's way, and then they have two beautiful children, all grown now. And so if you do it the way that God wants you to do it, it'll work out. Amen? Okay, so who can find a virtuous wife? So that tells me too that a man should be looking for, and usually it's a godly man, but should be looking for a virtuous or excellent wife.
You need to know what you're looking for, though. Because some men don't know what to look for, and that's why.
Well, this is why this is important, this chapter.
Well, it's why it's important that mom was teaching him what to look for.
Yeah, right.
But,
the mother.
You know, we won't go to the end of what happened.
Right, right. You know. So the mother is teaching him what to look for, okay? So we talked about that, and then verse number 11. Did you read 11 too, or did we stop there? Okay, read verse 11. Or did you read, for her worth is far above rubies? Okay, well, read that part. Okay.
For her worth is far above rubies.
So she's a valuable woman, okay? Go ahead.
The heart of her husband safely trusts her.
Now, that's a good thing. I just love it. I'll just use me as an example, but I just love it, and I really, that's my motivation, is to make sure that I... that my husband knows he can trust me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's important to me, to know that he can trust me with the household, with the kids, with the money, with everything. You know, as I was raising the children, that I was taking care of them, and I wasn't going from house to house or running around the neighborhood, and I was just taking care of business. And it was important to me to know, for him to know that he can trust me.
Now, I want to dig into that a little bit because, you know, I was working in radio before they had automated radio. A lot of the radio stations you're listening to, you're not even listening to a live person. You're listening to somebody that recorded a segment 3 days ago, and they're playing it on a computer, and they're playing the music on a computer, and they match the music with some announcement. They never tell you what the day is like or the temperature or whatever, because they don't know, because they're 3 days before it happens. And so radio has not been the same as radio, and I'm praying it comes back. I mean, because we really need this. We need real live people. And, you know, there's a lot of satellite radio that's live, but a lot of this local radio, they're so down on their budgets until you don't know what you're doing. Well, when I was on radio, you were live. So she knew I couldn't just walk off from the radio station. And see, I worked a lot of nights from 7 to midnight, 10 to 2, 2 to 6 even I worked on radio, because those were important times to get people ready for the setting the pace for the listener all day long. That was, they get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. If they don't like what they hear, they'll probably go to another station, never come back until maybe the next day. So I had to set that pace even when I worked in those late hours. And then people settling that night. And so she knew I was at the radio station, and there was no way I'm gonna get off the radio station, because you don't just fake your voice and leave somebody else there, whatever you're gonna do. I had to trust her. Oh, sure got quiet up in this Presbyterian church all of a sudden. Amen. Can we say hallelujah? I had to trust her. I had to trust that even though she knew that I couldn't be able to check on what she was doing, okay, we're newly married and that kind of stuff.
And they didn't have cell phones.
They didn't have cell phones. You did have a telephone. I was always, you know, yeah, there with a telephone, but that was different. But it was different. And so you have to, and I know this is talking deep, but you have to get to the point where you really can trust your spouse. And, you know, and there's, God is a jealous God. He ain't playing, okay? So he doesn't want any other gods before him. And some of that jealousy, righteously, is in us, too, to be able to care about the person that we're with, not to take it to some extreme and get violent and crazy and all that kind of stuff. That's not what we're talking about, you know, I'm going to get you. No, we're not talking about that. But I had to trust her. And I did this for 15 years. So I had to trust her and 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 trust her. Of course, you know, I called and we talked a lot on the phone because I'm sitting there on the radio and you know, in between all of the music and all this other stuff and the news and everything, I could talk to her. And that was good. But, you know, there was an incident that did occur with a guy that I was, had been working with. He wasn't working there. He was a student, actually. But he thought he was all that in a bag of chips. And he was on radio. And he turned out he was trying to become a pimp. Okay. Anyhow, so he was on the radio. He was actually one of the students that I was at that point teaching broadcasting and at the college level. And so anyhow, so this guy was thought he was going to be a pimp. He ended up just being a jailbird, so that didn't go too well. Anyhow, so one day I was on the radio, he knew I was on the radio, and he came and knocked on my door. But he knew I was at the radio station. And my wife did like I would do. Who is it? You know, she was like, who is it? And it was, I won't say the name. And she said, well, I'm on the phone with my husband right now. And he was like, okay. And he was gone. Come to find out, this guy had several ladies that he went to jail over trying to pimp them. Now, what was his plans coming over my house knowing what time I'm on the radio? You can turn the radio on and hear me. They didn't have a bunch of recording programs back then, not of live people. So, you know, you just never know. And thank God I had a wife that would protect our household and our covenant, not looking for some opportunity, you know, because men are stupid and they'll do stupid things. And then they'll feel stupid after they do them and wonder why they feel stupid. But we have to trust one another. I trust her. I do. I trust her. I mean, so I thank God for that. She's a very trustworthy woman. I don't really know why. Well, there's a lot of women at this church, but I don't know why every woman doesn't attach to this lady. I just can't figure it out. But I know women are competitive somewhat. But this woman will help you. She knows how to really live this thing. And sometimes I know it's like, well, I'm a woman by myself. I know, but men need mentors. Women need something else. I don't know what it is. But I would say that she's a good example, and I don't really care if you don't talk to her. I give honor where honor is due, and I don't have to lie about nothing. This woman is a good woman. She's a virtuous woman, and so I thank God, virtuous wife, and I thank you for being that person that I could trust in you. And, you know, so I just, you know, it allows me to be able to run around and act like I'm Superman, that I can do anything, because she's back there. Backing me up, and that's a good feeling to have, you know, for a husband to know that his wife has just, you know, got his back. I mean, you know, I remember one time we were going on to Fort Lewis, and we were not military residents at the time. We were going there for some reason, to visit somebody or something, and MPs pulled me over right at the gate, turned on the flashing lights and all that stuff, and come up there, and they got sort of rough talking with me. She jumped out the car and said, don't you talk to my husband like that. I said, girl, you're going to get arrested. You better be quiet. She said, but he can't talk to you like that. You ain't nothing. I'm like, shut up. We're going to go to jail, you keep on. But she just on her hind legs going, I'm going to hit you in the head, man. Said, he's got a gun, Kathy. Okay, leave him alone. But she was like, he ain't done nothing. What you talking to him like that for?
I was young, you guys. We got married young. Okay, it's time to move on now.
Next scripture. Enough of okay. That. But really, seriously, thank God for a virtuous wife praise that you can God. Trust. Amen. Can we give God praise for all the virtuous women that we have in this church? All the virtuous wives, the virtuous women. Praise God.
Praise God.
You women are awesome.
Praise God. So the heart of her husband safely trusts. Okay, go ahead. You can continue reading.
So the heart, where am I? The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now that's where I want to deviate, because we're going to talk about good tonight, okay? Because good and evil, those are choices that people make, okay? And so we want to talk about that. Notice that it says, she does him good, say good.
Good.
And not evil all the days of her life.
She could do either.
Yes, she can do either. And, but it's really good, and I remember I told you that.
Yeah,
Years ago.
Yeah.
And I don't even think Danae was born. That's how many years ago.
I know Donald wasn't born.
No,
Danae was not born.
She wasn't born. So that's how many years ago. My oldest daughter, who's almost 50. So that's how many years ago. Yeah. And I used this scripture on you.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, and I did.
Mm-hmm. And you've been faithful to the scripture.
Yeah, praise God. See, because you have to decide on what kind of person you want to be. And the enemy may challenge you or whatever, but you have to decide, you know, what kind of person you want to be. And so we're going to deviate. We're going to go with good because the Lord put on my heart to talk about it. So doing good is one of the characteristics of God. And we are Christ-like, so we should become more like God. I'm glad I have some amens on that.
Amen.
See, and I think people, they think that they should just come to church on Sunday.
I don't know.
And just hear a good sermonette and go home and, huh? And that's it, yeah. But the word of God should affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to all become more like Christ. And none of us are perfect. I sure wasn't a perfect mom or a perfect wife. I mean, I did some things. I didn't cook very good sometimes. And my husband told me, you know, I burnt some food and started fires. And, you know, didn't mean to, but wasn't watching the eggs.
Flambe.
So, you know, I mean, there's some things... There's some things I didn't do very well, you know. And but it's a choice that we make to do good. That's really what God wants us to hear tonight. And so the Bible says that in John 10:11, it says that Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the characteristics of God is that he is good. He's a good shepherd. He's good. And we have to make that decision. So good and evil is in the inner man or the inner person, which is a reflection of our character. It originates in our thoughts, which is played out in our words and our actions. Mm-hmm. So it's how we think, and that's why it's so important for us to feed on good stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
Because whatever's good... is going to come to us, and it's going to come out of us.
Right.
But if we're soaking in evil all the time, mm-hmm. then evil is going to dominate, and that's going to come out of us. You keep just sitting there just smiling away. What's the deal?
Well, you know, because, you know, we had our senior saints meeting.
Oh, didn't we have a good time? That was on my notes.
Fired
up. Oh, gosh, we had such a good time.
I'm telling you. These folks run a ring around the teens and everything. Anyhow, and one of the things we talked about is the ancient landmarks, that there are some things that you shouldn't move. And the Lord is talking to me about this, and he says it's not just for this congregation, but I got to broadcast this wherever I go, that we have messed up some ancient landmarks in this country. In fact, the Spirit of God, I was walking along in my garage coming into the house earlier this morning, and it just occurred to me, why don't you ask God how many genders there are? So I asked him. I said, Lord, how many genders are there? He said, I made male and female. That's the book. He said, there's two that I made. He said, but man is making all kinds of others. They're making it up. But there are only two genders that God made. But man makes all kinds of stuff. Man made this and a man made that. Man made shoes, man made this, man made leather, fake leather. You know, fake this and fake that, fake everything. God made man. Man messed up man, and man is still messing up. So if we're going to talk about genders, I'm talking from the biblical standpoint. You can talk your world, AI, EI, BI, CI, whatever else you got somewhere else. I don't want to hear that. In the book, God made, and you ain't made nobody anyhow. The only thing you can make is something that we want to run from called Frankenstein. You can't really create a person. So there are only two genders because God made them, and show me the gender you made. And I say this to the politicians, the stupid ones, and I call you El Stupido. I say to you, you are just stupid to know that you go to a male or female bathroom all your life since you was in kindergarten, and now all of a sudden you're going to come up with something else. You're the dumbest people on the planet. And it ain't gonna work, because the truth will
stand. It will stand.
Okay. I'm just telling you. So that's why I was cracking up, because there's so many stupid things that are coming up that are so crazy. They're not good. It's not stupid.
They're not really good. It's really evil.
It's
evil. A lot of things that man is coming up with, it's really evil, and God is not happy about
it. And the Lord was talking to me about these ancient landmarks. He says, why every generation, we've got to throw out everything from the previous generation? That is stupid. You should take the best from the last generation and make sure that's passed down. And I told the seniors, it's your responsibility to pass it down to the ones that will take it. But the problem is, there's a whole lot of folks, the younger generation, they don't want what you got. But they'll live in their parents' basement. They'll get divorces. They'll go on drugs. They'll, you know, be unhappy with 16 genders or some 76 genders, whatever they're trying to come up with. You can have as many genders as you want. You can have a relationship with a light bulb. I don't care. Okay? That's your lover, your light bulb, okay? Go buy six of them at Costco. I don't care. But see, people, you know, there's people that... When we did the 12-step programs, we had a program where we helped people to get off drugs when we first started this ministry. We may start it again. It was at 1310 K Street, which is MLK up on Hilltop, 1310 K Street. We rented a space there, and what we would do is that we had people that had been delivered from crack cocaine and all kinds of other drugs give their testimony, and we would put them in this place because they knew how to deal with these folks. And they would just give their testimony. And they would sit there in a round circle with a 12-step that we came up with that was all, every step was a scripture. And by the time you got through all those 12 steps, you were saved and ready for the Holy Ghost. Okay? And we got a lot of people delivered. We literally got to the point where we would go up and down the streets up there on Hilltop where the crack houses were and pull people out of the crack houses that wanted to finally get delivered. See, people don't want to live like they live if they know there's another option. You don't have to listen to all this foolishness, this stupid stuff. You know it's stupid to talk about all these genders and all this stuff. And don't write me no stupid letter, okay? Because I don't want to hear it. And don't tell me, would you just discriminate against me like black people? Don't you put me on the level of that. I know former homosexuals, but I don't know former blacks. Been black all my life. Gonna be black all my life. Don't put me with them folks that's got a behavior. That's what they're doing. They're behaving that way. They were not born that way. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear it. You said to yourself with your God, but my God got two genders. I got to go talk to the teenagers. See y'all.
So how am I supposed to follow after that? All right, okay. Okay, so so there's good and evil. I'm going to call him my son. Maybe you can help me get out of this one. Okay, so there's good and evil. And whatever you take in, it can be good or evil, it's going to come out of you. And this land does have a lot of evil stuff. I mean, you can go on TV, you can watch a lot of different programs and programs that are just ungodly. And if you live on those kind of programs, you'll start living those kind of programs. And so we have to, it's a choice that we make to take in good or take in evil. Amen? And we want to blame the devil for everything, but it's really... In many cases, it's just our choices that we're making. Because we can choose to turn off that television set or change the channel. We can choose to turn the channel from a radio, you know, station that's using all these bad words and, you know, language and stuff. So we can do something. There's many movies we just walked out of, you know, it's just... You know, we didn't know what it was about because back then they really didn't rate the the movies like they do now. And you can actually Google what's the movie about, why is it rated that, you know, they didn't have all that kind of stuff. And so there's many times we just walked out of that movie. We didn't know it was going to be like that. So that's a choice that we make every day. We can make a choice to take in good or take in evil. Now, you can't go around like... We had a lady do that years ago before we even moved in this location, built this church. And she would wear cotton balls in her ears sometimes, you know. And we asked her one time, why are you doing that? She said, because I can't, I don't like some of this music here, you know. And it was just church music, you know, of course, it's in the church. And so so we can't walk around with the you know, the mindset of see no evil, hear no evil, and all that. We can't. So because evil's all around, but there's good that's all around. So we make a decision of what we take in, okay? So it originates in our thoughts, which plays out in our words and deeds. So whatever we take, if we take in good, then good's going to come out of us. So we have to, you know, if bad is or evil stuff and just wrong things are coming out of us, we need to really just sit down and really, you know, just really sort of counsel our own self and assess and say, what am I doing? Why am I cussing all the time? See, why am I doing that? Oh, okay, because where I work, that's what they're doing. You know, maybe it's a construction job and all the guys are sitting there, you know, smoking and cussing and talking about women or whatever. And all of a sudden now you're starting to, you know, things are starting to come out of you and you were like, where did that come from? I wouldn't, you know, but it's the people that you're around all the time. So we have to guard our environment as much as possible. And so that way we can make sure we're guarding our heart. Okay, that was my first book I wrote, Guard Your Heart. And so we have to make sure we do that. If we want good to come out of us. Some people don't care. They have a lazy lifestyle. They don't care what comes out of them. But we have to make our own choices and say, you know, I want good to come out of me or from me. I want good. So, and then I wrote down here, words and actions of a person will reveal the true nature of that person. So once again, you put good in, good will come out. Put evil in and evil will come out. So what is inside of a person will eventually come out of that person. So let's turn to Matthew, and I'm going to show you in the scripture that I just didn't come up with this, okay? It's in the Bible. So let me show you the word. So Matthew 12. Praise God for truth. I just love it. See, I say people that comes to this church, they come because they want to hear the truth, because like Pastor Shorter, he's going to tell truth like that. And he will not back down from the truth, because one day he's going to stand before God. He's going to give account for everything he said to this congregation. So will I, and so will you. You know, one day you're going to have to give an account what you say to people. So when we teach the truth, we don't have to worry about it, because the truth will always stand. Amen? So here in Matthew 12, 33, it says, either make the tree, see, it's up to us. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, because the fruit's going to come from the tree, right? So the tree, the Bible says you will know the tree by the fruit it bears. So you know it's an apple tree because it's bearing apple fruits. And the Bible says we can judge that we can judge the fruit. So you're not necessarily judging the person, as it were. You're just judging what they're bearing, the fruit that's coming across. And that's a wise person, is a foolish person, especially you single women. And you know, you know, some guys, you know, got your phone number, now you guys are dating, and he's always late. And he's got an excuse all the time. I mean, he's bearing some kind of fruit. And we want to just sort of, you know, oh, no, I don't see any evil. No, I don't. And we have to know that whatever is that tree really is, the fruit's going to come out. And that's why you should have a long engagement, because you want seasons. You want winter. Okay? You want summer, you want fall, you want summer, come on. So what is it? Winter, spring, summer, and fall. You want all those seasons. And you need to see how that person's gonna handle the winter. because we don't let go through, and then we're like, whoa, I didn't know. Go through enough seasons to see what was going to happen. And so so that's real important, because whatever's inside is going to eventually, the tree good. And you know, Satan is a deceiver. He can deceive us. We've all been deceived before. Come on, some of you have been in relationships where, you know, people, you know, acting like all this and then they wasn't. So you've been deceived before, and deception is, and being deceived is not fun at all. It's not fun at all. And that's one thing I prayed, because I grew up basically in California. And then we moved to Washington, then we moved back to California, the Bay Area. It was pretty rough, the neighborhood that I lived in. So it was just outside of Berkeley. We had Berkeley, Oakland, and I lived in Richmond. And so, but it was pretty bad. My street was pretty bad. It was just, I learned how not to trust people, because I thought, I mean, people that you should have been able to have trust in, they deceived me. And I was like, I didn't trust anybody. I just couldn't believe that people, you know, and with a straight face. And so, you know, yeah, Satan can, he's good at deception, but we have to pray, and that's what I wanted to say. I start praying. I said, and you should pray that prayer. Person, or is this a you know, is this car a lemon, Lord? Cares about everything. Is this the job? I got four offers, different companies. Which one, Lord, should I take? Or should I just stay where I'm at? So we should go to God for everything, because you know, the enemy is a deceiver. And then sometimes we just get in trouble ourselves, because we're just making the wrong choices. And people do it all the time, okay? So it says, either make the tree good, say good, and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. So if you got a bad tree, you're gonna bear bad fruit. And you know, and I know, that when you go to buy some grapes or some apples or oranges or whatever, you do not pick the ones that are rotten. When I buy a bag of apples, I look, you know, and make sure they're all good apples in that bag. So that's a wise person to want to judge the fruit. And I was talking about the single women. I'm going back, because the Spirit of God's pulling me back there. And sometimes you can, but we shouldn't let our life get to the point, our lives get to the point of desperation. Because when we're in desperation, we make wrong choices. When we're desperate to get married, when we're desperate to buy that car, when we're desperate to buy that house, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses or something. And that's how some people get into debt, because they're trying to, you know, show like they're prospering or whatever. And you have to just stay locked in with the Word of God and let the Word of God deal with you and not care about what people think. That's one thing. We have to get free from the cares of this world and the cares of what they think. Now, you love them and you don't wear a t-shirt like I saw one time. I don't care what you think, you know, I'm going to be who I am. And you don't get to that kind of attitude. But you put it all in the right perspective that, hey, if you're not in line with the Word of God, you're telling me some things, you're doing some things, I'm not listening to you. And I don't care. And see, and some people get mad even with Pastor Short and say, there's only two genders. And some, I don't know, I don't think in this room, but if other people would hear that, some co-workers of yours, they would get so highly upset with you. I mean, it's a situation going on right now in Seattle with that mayor. I don't know if you guys are up on that, but he criticized the Christians for starting a riot. The Christians. And they were just, they were in a rally, doing a rally, right? They were just having church, basically. And he said it's the Christian that incited the crowd that started all the mess. Here, tell us what happened, because you have more of the details. Yeah.
He really said that they shouldn't have been approved to be able to go to that park because it's in a traditionally known LGBTQ neighborhood in Seattle. And so they were having an outdoor worship service where we got video, people out there raising their hands, they're just praising God, and protesters showed up and started acting a fool, tearing stuff up. But the mayor put the blame on the Christians.
On the Christians.
For choosing to have, well they were actually put there because they wanted to do it at Pike Place Market, but they were denied Pike Place Market, and the city put them there at Cal Anderson Park in Capitol Hill. But the mayor said that they were in the wrong, although 23 people got arrested. None of the Christians, but 23 rioters got arrested for showing up there, yelling at them and fighting with the police because of the fact that they were having church there.
Yeah, and then he says something like, we embrace the LGBTQ community and everything, and blaming the Christians for just having, like you said, church.
He's specific in his statement. He said, this group is anti-LGBTQ because they're Christian, and they don't stand for the morals and I think he used the word morals, that we stand for in Seattle.
So it's now, just this is the mayor
calling
of Seattle.
Evil good and calling good evil.
See?
Yeah. You know.
And so, and do you wonder why we talk the way we do? Now, this just happened, a day ago? So our federal government got involved now. I don't know if you know much about that. Yeah, and they're investigating. They're investigating. Anybody knows about that information? They're investigating this situation in Seattle. Trump's administration. They're investigating this situation in Seattle. Yeah. Because basically they're trying to take free speech away from the Christians. And want to say, we incited that. The people that got arrested because they were acting a fool. And the Christians were the ones who started that because of them having church and seeing what they're... Like, they'll probably think that Pastor Shorten is inciting something because he's telling the truth. See, we can't let this world shut us up. We need to speak truth. And truth is in the Word of God. And we're not trying to offend nobody, and we sure don't hate people. If you're a true Christian, you should not hate anybody. I don't care what kind of lifestyle they have. Because that lifestyle is no different from somebody that's fornicating or, you know, committing adultery or a thief or, you know, whatever, a liar. So sin is sin, and we love people, we hate the sin. Like, God loves everybody. The Bible says, so God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whoever, it doesn't matter what kind of background they have, whoever will believe in him shall have eternal life, basically. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So we should love people, but we hate the sin. Because we're hating evil. We should embrace good, and we should hate evil. And that kind of lifestyle and other kind of lifestyle is just really killing people. Because the wages of sin is death. And the first death is always separation from God. And then after that, some people do lose their lives early because of sin. One mistake. One thing, And so thank God for his grace, because we're all here because of the grace of God. Because some of you right now, you're thinking, how did I get out of that situation? It was God's grace and his mercy on your life. And we're here tonight in Jesus' name, free from that chaos, that sin that we were all just so tied up in. Praise God. Because we could have went many kind of ways, and thank God he intervened and called us out in time and rescued us. Amen? So come on, give the Lord a glory. Praise God for his mercy and his grace. So, you know, the mayor's confused. That's just the truth. And he's calling good evil and evil good. And we can't just sit back and just agree with that. So he's wrong, and they're investigating, so they're gonna deal with it, okay? Because we shouldn't lose our freedom of speech. We should be able to go out and have church where we want to have church and talk about Jesus and talk about good and evil. Amen. With love, too, because we're not, see, what's, you know, there's people in church that gets offended. And they say they're Christians, but they come in here and they get offended. And what we need to do when we hear something that's sort of just, you know, it's like sandpaper to us, sort of, we need to go to God and say, Lord, help me. Because if it's in the Word of God, we have to change, because we're making our tree good. So good stuff can come out from us. Amen. Say praise God. And that's what Pastor Shorter was talking to about the ancient landmarks. I mean, the wholesome shows that we used to have. No, we can't go back to the black and white, you know, Leave It to Beaver type of, you know, shows, even though I used to like those shows. I mean, everything was so wholesome. I mean, she comes to the door, the mother, forget her name, but with the pearls on her. I mean, she's dressed like that all day. See, and I'm not saying we have to do that. The Lord knows we don't need to do that all day, okay? But there are some things, some just wholesome things that we should go back to. And I think one thing is just really just respect. Because that's one thing we should just have, just, you know, respect mankind. I mean, just respect. Just have some dignity of, and some, okay. Let's finish this and we're going to go somewhere. Then we're going to just quit tonight, okay? Because time is up anyhow. So let me finish this. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. So, you know, I didn't know, and it was, we can pull the tape. It was not long ago that Pastor Shorter was talking about this mayor in Seattle. I don't know if you guys remember that. He said, you know, he's cleaning up the streets because we're able to go back to, remember that? We were able to go back to Seattle because we stopped going to Seattle because it was really getting so bad. It was, and we used to walk the streets of Seattle, go shopping, and just, and we were just complimenting him not too long ago because he was doing a good job, and he is doing a good job cleaning up the streets. So, see, I can give him a compliment. He's doing a good job, but he's wrong on this one. He's just wrong because you can't shut up us Christians, and, you know, you can't shut us up. You can't try to do that. That's not good. And then verse 35, say a good man. Or good woman, you could say, too, okay, because I want to give you this, and then we'll probably just close. I was going to go somewhere else. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good things. Do you say that? So the Bible says out of the abundance, and we use it for finances, but this goes well past just money. Out of the abundance of the heart, no, I'm talking about, what's that scripture? Treasure out of the treasure, what is it? Help me out, somebody. I can't think of it now, right now. What now? Yeah, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. But then the other scriptures, out of the treasure of your heart, it says something like that. No, I don't know. I can't think of it the exact way that I want to say it. But anyway, we'll just read it here. A good man out of good treasure, say good treasure, of his heart bring forth good things. So that's what's going to happen. If the good is in you, it's going to come out of you. And an evil man, say evil man, out of the treasure, evil treasure brings forth evil things. So I wrote this down, the treasure of your heart, good treasure. So treasure could be understood as the beliefs, your beliefs. See, and that's what we're hearing from him, you know, mayor in Seattle. His beliefs, your values and desires that's in you. Come on, that's your treasure. Your beliefs, your values, what's inside of you is going to come out of you. You let a person, oh, that's the scripture I want, out of the abundance of the heart. That's the one I wanted. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you start talking to someone long enough, you're going to find out what kind of treasure is inside of them. Because you're going to find out their beliefs, their values. You talk to them long enough, you're going to find out. You'll find out. Because that tree is going to produce that fruit through those words. And this is, and I put down here, this is he, the person that decides to become, what was it? This is who the person decides. Yeah. So this is who the person decides to become, which flows out through words and lifestyle choices. So it's your beliefs, values, you know, it comes out through your words and your lifestyle. You guys with me? So we should be vigilant and monitor the type of fruit that comes from our life. We have to assess our lives. We have to, when things coming out of our mouth and stuff, we need, and that's not good, we need to say, okay, where did that come from? Where did that come from? Where am I getting that from? Is that because I'm talking to auntie every week and I'm picking up her values? And am I picking up her beliefs? You know, I've been so strong on, you know, I believe that God can do this, I believe. And then I've been talking to auntie every week, and now it's like, you know, I'm not as strong as I used to be. Because now when people say things, I'm saying, well, I don't know. But before it was like, gosh, I believe God. I just trust his word. And then, where did I come from? Why am I getting sort of weak as a Christian? Who am I hanging around with? Or what television show am I watching now? Huh? Or even news programs? Because some of those news programs, I mean, you can get so loaded with evil stuff, bad things, you know, just, you know, nothing can work. Type of spirit. And that's why Sunday morning, sometimes I'm telling you the truth. Remember Pastor Shore, oh, we're supposed to order some mirrors. Because he wants us to look at the faces, our faces. Because I believe sometimes people are so loaded up with the wrong stuff that on Sunday morning, they can't. The worship team up here, they just trying to pull it all out of them. And ain't nothing in them because they done. You know, they done had their time. Their Saturday night wasn't a time with them and God. And so they done filled themselves up with a whole bunch of other stuff. And that's why we say, raise your hand. They can't raise, they feeling bad or what they just, you know, Saturday night fleeing what they was into. And then they're just dry and dead. And we're trying to pump them up. You know, and it's hard to pump up a flat tire that has a hole in it. And I believe there's too many Christians that got holes in their tires, and we're trying to pump them up, and the air is coming out all different kind of ways. It's like trying to fill a swimming pool. You guys ever had those inflated swimming pools, and they got holes all in them? And the water is seeping out like that. That's how some Christians is. And we're trying to, and we have to spend like 20 minutes almost on worship trying to get them to prepare them, think about it for the word of God. Yeah. the seed of the word. Come on up here. I think we're going to close on that, right? Let's just close. So I want you to say to your neighbor, say, neighbor,
good
is a choice.
Is a choice.
Praise God.
Glory to God.
Oh, glory to God.
Well, we had a great time with the teens. One of the kids got the $100.
Whoa.
He did not know how to tie the tie, but he tied it the best. He said, don't tell his mother because he wants to keep it.
I do want to show you guys this. I have to show you this. Turn to 2 Timothy 3, and we'll stop it because it says, we talked about the mayor situation, and Don articulated everything about that story. But to know this, that in the last days, perilous times or dangerous times will come. This is in 2 Timothy 3, the first verse. And it says, but know this. So this is something we should know, okay? That in the last days, perilous times, or that's dangerous times, and we're in the last days, I believe that, will come. For men, and look at the list. Now, can't we attest to all this? I want you guys to raise your hand if you believe this. For men or women will be lovers of themselves. Do we have that problem in this country?
Amen.
Okay. Lovers of money. Do we have that problem in this country?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boasters.
Yeah.
Okay. Proud. Uh-huh. That's pride. How about blasphemers? Those are blasting against God.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got that.
Let me say this. I don't care what politician. Now, I didn't hear what you all were saying, so I'm not trying to chime in on that. But these politicians, you need to read your Bible. Everyone that came against God, they did not win. Don't come against God. You got City Hall, but you don't have the kingdom.
Yeah.
So we're part of the kingdom of God.
Stay on
God's
side.
We are God's citizens. You have no business trying. Yeah, we got dual citizenship. But I'm telling you, leave the Christians alone. Okay, it doesn't work. It doesn't go well for you. And even if you do throw them in jail or act a fool with them, it ain't going to last because God's going to deliver them. Mm-hmm. Okay,
yep.
So you need to leave them alone. Now, I didn't hear what y'all was talking about.
And you sure should be doing it right now when the president got all these Christians influencers and preachers around. I mean, you cannot shut up a Christian right now. You really can't shut them up.
It's not a good time to quit.
It's not a good time. But yeah, you're really fighting against God. Right. And so we want to stay on God's side, right?
That's right.
But blasphemers, and then listen to this. Disobedient to parents. Come on, raise your hand. You guys believe that's happening? Okay. Unthankful.
Oh man.
We really got to work on that. We should be thankful.
Unholy.
Yeah, oh, come on, all that unholy stuff on TV. I mean, even some of the commercials. Why do they have to put commercials on with your underwears on and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That stuff, you have to hold the TV remote control, I call it the flipper, because you got to turn it. Some of the stuff they be showing
flip
on there,
the flipper,
I'm saying,
Kathy,
why,
flip the flipper.
Why do they have to do that? Why do they have
you
to?
You missed the flipper, Cabby.
The people are nude, halfway nude, just. So anyway, unloving. Come on, raise your hand. Do we have some unloving people? Unforgiving?
All right, I got to back up. We got to back up to unloving. Unloving doesn't mean that I love what you do.
Right, we talked about
that. I love you, but I can't love what you do. Because some things that people do.
He wasn't even in here.
You know, I love you, but just because I don't love what you do don't mean I don't love you.
Right.
In fact, I love you so much that I'll tell you, I'll risk you hating me because I told you don't go across the street. There's a Mack truck coming down 60 miles an hour. Don't walk across the street.
And
you don't love me. You trying to tell me what to do. No, I'm trying to save your life.
We need to preference that too sometimes. If we're dealing with situations, we need to sandwich that in and say, I love you. That's why I'm going to tell you the truth right now. You need to leave that guy alone. I love you. Now, ultimately, you make your own choices. But I love you enough to tell you the truth. What? You going to say something else? Oh, boy.
Y'all got to help me. You're going to have to pray.
I'm
too reactionary to people right now because I'm sick of this. And so we were driving in downtown Seattle, came from shooting that segment that you're going to see in a couple of minutes, and a guy was driving one of these motor bikes.
Now, you're going to really tell that story?
Yes, I am. With the on the back of his little motorbike, his little girlfriend.
But you almost smashed
him. No, he almost ran into the side of our car. He's going so fast.
I know.
And I said, hey, you're not supposed to be going that fast on the sidewalk. He almost T-boned us.
Yeah.
With a little bicycle on the sidewalk.
Those little green bicycles.
And so he said, well, kiss my... And I said, you ain't got one. Because he looked like a pencil riding on a bicycle. I said it so fast, I couldn't even figure out what. I was like, where did that come from?
I said, I didn't say pass the short.
You ain't got one.
Don, you can't.
And his
say
girlfriend
that
was
now,
like, yeah, she doesn't.
I said, Don, you can't say that.
I said, did the pastor say that?
I mean, he said it just as.
I said it so fast. I said, must have been the Holy Ghost. No, it wasn't him.
Don't lie.
That's blessed.
He had to ask God for forgiveness.
It wasn't the Holy Spirit. No, it was my spirit.
It was your spirit.
Oh, Lord, help us today. But I said it so fast because, see, I'm sick of this.
I said, Don, don't you know people are crazy nowadays?
I said, I'm crazy too. I am.
So anyway, unloving, that's funny, slanders. Okay, are you guys, come on, raise your hand. We're almost finished with the list.
I'm with you, sister.
Without self-control.
Oh, man.
Some of us need to work on that with eating. Brutal. Come on, you know, that means that people, they're just so harsh. Mm. You know? This is what I was trying to get to in the list, okay, because we were talking about good.
Good teaching.
Despisers of good. And then traitor, haughty, and a step. But I was trying to get to the
having a form of godliness, so they're fake Christians, but denying the power.
And that's they have the power to change. And so they're denying that power to change them.
I wouldn't serve a God that did not give us the power to get over the situations we deal with in life.
Yeah, that's
true. Thank God that he does.
And I'm going to read this last part. It says, lover of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, denying the power. And then God tells us what to do. And from such people, turn away.
You don't have to hang
around. So if they
them.
Got this kind of fruit, then we should not hang around them. Now, you know, there's sometimes family members, you got to go to those Thanksgiving dinners and stuff. But you have to be vigilant.
But you're not turning away from really them. You're turning away because of what
they're
doing. The
fruit, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You turn away from those that are despisers of good, that's calling good evil and evil good. Say a big amen.
Can we give God praise for the word we received tonight? What a blessing. You did a great job with this.
Praise God.
I got to listen to the live stream on record
praise
and see
God.
What Don was saying, too.
Yeah.
Pastor Don was preaching, huh?
Come on, let's praise the Lord again. I believe we need to really thank him.
Jesus.
Father, we thank you for your truth.
Yes.
The Bible says when we know the truth will set us free. Amen? That truth will set us free.
That's right. Praise God.
Amen. Well, I have some announcements to make, but what do you want to
do
next?
Let's do that. Let's
do
the announcements.
You want to do the salvation
let's do that right now. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord Savior, you've never received him, but you want to receive him tonight, maybe you heard this word and it just really, it got to you. You finally understood. It broke through and you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pray this prayer with us. Just say, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Help me to receive all that you have for me as a child of God. I believe that as I receive now salvation, I become a citizen of the kingdom of God with a new right to life. And I thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, it's mine. I call it done. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer in a minute, God knows it. You need to let other people know it also. You can write us also and let us know that you received Jesus. Better yet, just come on in to Pacific Christian Center here at 32 1112 Street East, Tacoma, Washington, 98446. You can join us here on Sundays at, of course, 10:30 a.m. and Wednesday nights like we are tonight. We gather at 7:15 p.m. You can come as you are. Just receive the word of God. You're going to be blessed by receiving the word.